The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Yeah, we've got plenty of heat, but some other parts of Texas, they are absolutely baking. NBC5's chief meteorologist Rick Mitchell says, you know, the good news is we're not going to hit triple digits around here.
From Fort Worth on to the west, and that's allowed temperatures to be much higher there. Denton, 96. Arlington, 88. Dallas, 89. This is what it feels like. Feels like 101 Fort Worth. 96 DFW, Denton 99. Keep in mind, our normal high this time of year is about 83. Next few hours, temperatures will just basically be in the 80s, but the humidity is going to stay up.
Yeah, humidity like this can be pretty dangerous for anyone spending time outdoors.
Triple digits, though, in central and southwest Texas.
Extreme heat warnings in effect till 9 p.m. from Austin down to San Antonio and all along the Texas-Mexico border. Heat preparedness measures already in place. Austin Mayor Kirk Watson.
This is the type of heat we generally don't start seeing until July. It's unwelcome and it's unwanted, but it's here.
Wes Hopkins is with the Austin-Travis County EMS.
This is the earliest that we've seen triple-digit heats in approximately 40 years.
The heat wave is expected through the weekend. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
On to other news. New information now from Arlington Police about the South Grand Prairie High School student who was on life support after playing the viral game called Senior Assassin. The accident involving 17-year-old Isaac Leal happened April 21st. But police say they didn't get word about it until earlier this month. Detectives are now saying no crime was committed, so no charges will be filed. Police believe Leal climbed on the back of a Jeep Wrangler and rode on it through a neighborhood. He fell off when the Jeep turned. The driver called 911. Leal's mom tells NBC5 she is not giving up hope on her son.
I have not been able to go home because I can't imagine going home without him.
Police are calling it a tragic accident, and they are encouraging parents to talk to kids about these viral trends.
They started an investigation into a Louisville resource officer after a complaint.
The complaint was received by Carrollton Police concerning an improper relationship between a school resource officer and a 17-year-old student. It happened allegedly back in 2008. As a result, CPD has placed Officer Forrest Langston on administrative leave. While he serves in the Louisville ISD, the complaint was received by a former student of a different school district. Police believe the allegations of the improper relationship didn't occur on any school property. Langston has been with the Carrollton Police Department for 32 years. Anyone with information is urged to call police. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Well, Texas Senator John Cornyn's colleagues have agreed to honor the memory of a 12-year-old.
The Houston girl was brutally murdered last June, provoking President Trump in March to sign an executive order to rename a 39,000-acre wetlands in South Texas. Cornyn's bill would make the executive order official if the full Congress agrees.
Which would permanently rename the Anahuac National Wildlife Refuge in Texas in her memory.
Now it would be called the Jocelyn Nungaray National Wildlife Refuge. Two illegal immigrants, suspected members of the notorious Venezuelan Tren de Aragua gang, remain in federal custody charged with the girl's murder. From the 24-Hour News Center, Bill McLean, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texans may be allowed to distill moonshine at home. The House votes 115-24. For a new bill.
We're just following what the federal courts have said, and we're allowing individuals to be able to do something that they already are.
That state rep Giovanni Caprileone, if the bill becomes law, Texans would be allowed to produce up to 200 gallons of moonshine every single year.
Pete Rose predicted it. He said in the last interview he did before his death that he probably would get elected to the Hall of Fame someday, but that it wouldn't happen until after he died.
It's a good
idea. He might be right about that because yesterday, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred announced that Rose, 9 months after his death, has been removed from baseball's ineligible list, where he has been since 1989. And as a result, he can now go onto the ballot in Cooperstown. And guess who may have been involved in this decision?
Well, the president of the United States put pressure on baseball to make this happen. Exactly how much pressure is not clear. And baseball, of course, betting in baseball is rampant today. Of course, you're not allowed to bet on baseball if you work inside the game. And sadly, I think the biggest factor is that Pete Rose died. Remember, in 2015, Rob Manfred called him an unacceptable risk of further violation. But since he died, apparently now he is no longer a risk. Those are just three factors that led us to today.
And okay. That's Manfred used those exact words. Yeah. Well, he's no longer a threat because he's dead.
He's dead. And we both say you probably could have worded that a little differently.
Perhaps worded that.
You just say the threat is no longer around.
But you go through the timeline. I'll tell you how this is how this went down. February 28th, Trump posts on social media that he's going to pardon Pete Rose. Now, you can't, he wasn't convicted of a crime related to the gambling.
The only thing he got was tax evasion, right?
He was accused of tax evasion, statutory rape, too, all that. But
well, that one never went to trial. The only thing, he served time for tax evasion. So you could get on a federal level, you can get him off on that. But again,
but in the post, Trump mentioned gambling.
Yeah, there's nothing to pardon him for.
Yeah, exactly. So that I think they pull him aside and say, you're going to have to go another route on this one. You can't pardon someone who hasn't been convicted of this. So 6 weeks later, he meets with Rob Manfred. 2 weeks after that, Manfred admitted that they had met and that they did discuss Pete Rose. And now 1 month after that, he reinstates Pete Rose. Trump aside, though, that Tim Kirkjian, who you just heard, the former Rangers beat writer and now ESPN analyst, he says this will make Rose eligible for induction into the Hall of Fame posthumously.
The next step will be it's possible he'll be put on a classic era ballot, which will be voted on in December of 2027. 16 people will be on that committee. Kevin, I've been on 4 of those committees in my career. You have to get 12 out of 16 votes, 75%, in order to be voted into the Hall of Fame. And don't forget, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds went on those special ballot, and each of them got fewer than 4 votes after getting 65% of the vote from the writer. So it is a very difficult committee, and it all depends on the makeup of the committee.
All right.
This is what I think should have happened in the beginning. Just leave it up to the committee. They are staunch traditionalists. They protect the game.
Well, they do. Listen to this. Kirk Jim was asked, if you were on that committee, how would you vote?
This is the hardest question that I've been asked in 45 years of covering baseball. And if I were on the committee today, I would walk into the room thinking that I am going to vote for Pete Rose and then listen to everyone in that room and perhaps make another determination. But also keep in mind, Kevin, 20 years ago, I said on ESPN that I would vote for Pete Rose for the Hall of Fame if he were on the ballot. And Frank Robinson, with whom I had a tremendous relationship, screamed at me and said, I cannot believe that you said you would vote for Pete Rose for the Hall of Fame. He violated the number one rule in baseball. He bet on the game. And if he ever gets in the Hall of Fame, I will never go back to the Hall of Fame for any reason if I'm in the same club as Pete Rose. And remember, Frank and Pete Rose were teammates with the Reds, but this just shows you how strongly former players feel about this topic.
It wouldn't happen that no vote would take place until, I believe, 2027.
Yeah.
That's going to be a couple of years at least.
So, look, I know that a lot of former players feel that way. Johnny Bench, who played with him in the Big Red Machine days, said, I wouldn't let him in either. And they liked Pete Rose. Yeah. It wasn't that for all his on-field exploits, he was excellent. He was Charlie Hustle, the all-time hits leader.
Still the hit king.
17-time All-Star. But when you're a manager and you bet on your own team.
It just seems
rough.
Kind of, I don't know.
At this
wait
point,
until after he's dead and then you take him off the ineligible
list. Yeah, and
list.
That statement about the threat's no longer there. He's dead. So I just thought.
I don't want to come out too strongly in defense of Pete Rose.
Yeah, you should have done this years ago. Leave it up to the writers.
If you were going to do this, have to wait until after he's dead. The Dallas Stars, one win away from advancing to the Western Conference Finals for the third straight year. Beat Winnipeg last night in Game 4 of their second-round series. Did it on the strength of a player from Finland. No, not Mikko Rantanen. Last night it was Mikael Granlund.
It's back to the point. Haskin, Cody Shane, waiting, shoots off the post. Haskin's got it. Rolling puck.
Trick for Mikael Granlund, who the Stars picked up from San Jose in early February. He got all three of the goals in that 3-1 win.
Perfetti onto the wing. Ehlers up with it. Ehlers to Morrissey. And the Stars will put the President's Trophy winners on the brink.
That was the Canadian broadcast of the game. That's why they didn't sound quite so excited.
On the brink.
That's where the series stands now. The Stars win the game 3-1, and they're up in the series 3-1. They can wrap it up tomorrow night, Game 5 in Winnipeg, where it was, 92 degrees yesterday, Gavin?
Yeah. I mean, you have to talk in Celsius when you're up there, so yeah. About 32 degrees Celsius.
It's warm up there as well. So, Gavin Spittle, our resident hockey expert, host of the Spits and Suds podcast, the Hockey Hawk himself, with us right now to talk about that game last night. If you're a Stars fan these days, I guess if you're going to go to a game, you better take along an old ratty cap that you don't care about.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Listen, it's awesome if you throw it on the ice, but we were talking about this prior. Austin, if you have a new cap on, you can leave it on.
Okay. I was a little worried that I would be called out for my fandom or lack thereof if I didn't throw it out on the ice.
Is that bad form? Because if I'm with a group and they're all throwing their hats on the ice and I don't,
keep mine on.
I'm going to feel pressure to go along with it.
All right, but let's switch the scenario. You take it off and you throw it and it doesn't make the ice.
Then you
have to do the awkward conversation of going down to the third row. Excuse me, I threw a hat.
Can I hit you in the head?
Going to grab that hat and throw it onto the ice.
Yeah.
So you didn't get the pleasure of it touching the ice. Someone else did.
You know, the thing with Granlund, lost in all the excitement about the Stars acquiring Mikko Rantanen was the Granlund trade.
Yeah.
Back in early February. He's kind of the forgotten guy. He and Cody Ceci came over in that trade as well.
Right. The Stars gave up a first-round pick in this upcoming draft, as well as a conditional third. If they make the Stanley Cup, that stays a third. If they don't make the Stanley Cup, it becomes a fourth. So it was a lot to give up, but what you got was a terrific penalty killer in Cody Ceci, a lot of veteran experience. He was on Edmonton that took out the Stars last year. So then you bring in Mikael Granlund. Fascinating story about him. Just always been a consistent guy. Was one of the leaders on Team Finland, so you know he's a good room guy. And just comes up in big moments. He's one of those guys that's not necessarily going to be flashy, but he can kill penalties. He can be out on 5-on-5 and be strong. And you look, he could play your third line, but then you move him up to that first line. Instant chemistry with Roope Hintz and Mikko Rantanen.
And you talked about not flashy. Listen to some of those answers. Yeah, I played
one. Yeah.
Very low-key.
Yeah, Finns don't get excited.
Exactly. Talk about the performance of Jake Oettinger at goal. I thought that was what he did last night was absolutely amazing. Because it looked like Winnipeg was winning the first two periods effort.
Oh, they did. Absolutely. Stars dominated in the third. Stars took advantage of what Winnipeg gave them. Costly penalty by Winnipeg. Granlund comes down. They give him some space, and he has a nice sizzler wrister that probably Hellebuck should have stopped. But at the same time, you know, that's why you're putting shots on net. Jake Oettinger is really special, and he gets up for situations. And one of the things that he truly wants to be is he wants to be the best USA goaltender. Well, staring at him on the other side is Connor Hellebuck, who is known as the best USA goaltender. So it's that, but also the maturity of Jake Oettinger. And we talk about the trade of Ceci and Granlund. We should also talk about the Stars investing in Jake Oettinger and saying, we feel as though you're an elite goalie. We feel as though we can ride your back. And now we're seeing the results of that because they signed him to a multi-year deal.
The thing with Oettinger, and I've always noticed this about him, the bigger the game, the bigger the performance. If it's a Tuesday night in November against Columbus, you might not get his best. But when the playoffs roll around, man, watch out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a big guy, too. He's 6'5". And he's very similar to what we used to have in Ben Bishop, who is also a terrific goalie. And I think one of the fascinations about goaltenders is that sometimes like players like Ottinger, since they're so big, can flash the pad, but it doesn't look as fancy as like Anton Khudobin. Remember that guy a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Took him to the Stanley Cup, yeah. And he was rolling around
We're
on
not
the ground.
Going home
We're not going home. And it's like, oh my, you can rally around those smaller guys because they're flashing all pads and gloves. And so, he's just a solid goaltender. He never changes his demeanor, which I absolutely love.
Do you get the feeling this year, more so than in the past 2 years, that this might be it? This might be the team.
All right, now I don't want juicing anything here.
So Winnipeg's not going to go away easy.
No.
Right? Now they're heading back home. Until it's over, until they move on, I still want to concentrate on Winnipeg.
Okay.
I will say this.
Fair enough.
The offseason and trade deals they made, I believe, made them more playoff hardy than they've been in years past. They have terrific depth. Haskinen's now back, so they have great defensive depth. Remember, they were playing with five defensemen last year in the playoffs, and now they're playing with seven last night. So they feel really good about their defense.
And the thing is, if they could get a Finnish goalie, they could put all Finns on the ice now.
You know, they really could.
They're the Finnish mafia already.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what do you expect from Winnipeg?
Oh, I expect Winnipeg to come out. Like Winnipeg was saying after the game, the Jets were saying, like, we felt as though we played well. They just know that they were goalied last night. So I expect Winnipeg to come out hard. I expect a real physical Winnipeg. I expect them to try to exert themselves upon the Stars. Stars have to withstand that first 10 minutes of the first period. That's always tough. Stay out of the penalty box, because that Winnipeg power play, although it's been ineffective in this series, was tops in the NHL all year long. So don't give them any momentum. Just play your game and play as hard as you can.
And get the first goal. Because if you can get the first goal, it's going to completely take all the air out of that building.
Yeah, you need the fans to have their hands on their seats. You do not want – that's a loud barn. The fans are on top of you. And we saw it at the AAC last night. Third period, it was a raucous crowd.
That was
but
crazy.
They were silent for a while because Winnipeg was controlling the play. It was quiet.
Good enough, Gavin. Thanks for stopping
all right,
by.
Stick
we appreciate
tap,
it.
Stick tap. Stick tap, boys.
Stick tap and a frosty.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.